Welcome back into the La Crosse Tribune UofL Football Podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew, and I'm your host and the beat writer here at the Tribune for UofL lacrosse football and all college sports here in the Cooley region. We are recording this podcast on Wednesday night, getting ready for a Week 6 matchup against Stevens Point. Kind of crazy. We're already halfway through the year. Five games in. It's weird because there are still so many questions about a lot of teams, I feel like, that are in Division III football right now, including UWL. And you would think half your season would be enough to kind of know some of those answers, but I think there are still some things that everybody's figuring out except for some of those elite teams at the top, but we'll get into that. The Eagles are receiving votes in the Division3Football.com poll, and they would be number 26 if the poll went that far. They're 3-2 and 1-1 in the conference, facing Stevens Point, who is 2-3 and 1-1 in the conference as well. 6 p.m. Saturday start for this game. Not entirely sure why this is a night game. I'm not a fan just from a reporting aspect because can't write as much about the game, and it's a tighter deadline to turn around on, but nobody cares about that. It's going to be cold, by the way, everyone that's going to the game. Mid-40s at game time, and temperature will be dropping pretty quickly from there, it looks like. So bundle up while sissies like me are up in the press box where it's relatively warm. Quick show rundown here. We'll talk about Stevens Point, kind of the matchups that UWL has in this game. And then we'll talk about, I'll kick it over to a good interview that I did today with Eric Graff, Brandon McCandies, and Ryan Weber, three assistant coaches on the defensive side. You probably recognize those names from being on the roster last year and being some of their better players. They're making a really good impact in their first year of coaching, and kind of just interesting to hear their transition into coaching, kind of their experience with it, and also kind of the ups and downs of coaching friends. Obviously, when you're on the team just last season, a lot of the guys that are returning, you know them well. You've been hanging out with them, your friends, and now you're kind of like an authority figure of sorts as their coach. So we talk about that in that interview as well. So starting with Stevens Point, like I said, 2-3, 1-1 in the conference. This team is just really struggling on offense right now. They're dealing with a ton of injuries. One of their best wide receivers allegedly has a broken hand. Not entirely sure how much he's going to play. They had two major injuries on the offensive line and one at the center position that they end up pulling their fullback, tight end, kind of, they call them H-backs sometimes, but that type of person, they're putting him at center, about 240 pounds. It's a small center for this league, and I think for the second week, the defensive line's going to have some ability to get through and get after the quarterback, which is going to be a big point because Stevens Point's quarterback, Matt Romanski, he can sling it. He's a guy that's not afraid to throw it up, and when they've been down in a couple of the games that they've lost, they don't mind chucking the ball around the yard and trying to figure things out. I think it's going to be a good test for UWL secondary that, for the most part, last week against Stout had a pretty good game. You know, Stout was going to challenge him down the field almost every play, and they broke up a couple of passes, made tackles on anything that the receivers did catch. So a pretty good day for the secondary, and they're going to need to have another one on Saturday. The big thing with Romanski and this whole Stevens Point offense is that they're going to be opportunities for interceptions. This is a game where I feel like UWL can really get some turnovers probably early because Point's going to need to establish momentum early. And if that happens, I think some things could kind of snowball in lacrosse's favor on Saturday. Secondary is also going to have to contend with Steve Hara, big target for them, 6'4" receiver. Another one of these kind of bigger physical guys that the secondary's done pretty well with throughout the season. It's always going to be a tough physical matchup for them, and we'll always have to see how they contend with them. The thing that they do with Hara that's tough to guard is they move them all around the field. Last year, Hara was one of their big targets too, and Jerry Williams, but he's graduated. But they move them anywhere, slot, inside, outside. They'll even occasionally put them like a yard or two off the line, so he's almost like a tight end. And it just makes him tough. Makes it tough to guard when you can't really rely on that guy being in one spot, and it gives him more field to play with as a receiver. The thing that Point is really hanging its hat on right now is their defense. They are playing really well defensively. Last week, let up 3 points against Eau Claire. Not that Eau Claire's a great team or anything, but to hold a WIC team without a touchdown is a pretty good accomplishment, no matter who it is. And the thing that they're doing really well is they're stopping teams in the red zone, or at least they're making them kick field goals. And they kept Eau Claire pretty much out of the red zone for most of the game, and the one time they did, they kicked a short field goal and made that. So Stevens Point's playing a lot more discipline on defense than they have in the last few years in the sense of pressure. Point the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 years under Tom Drinnell, the coach that they had that ended up leaving, they brought the house a lot. They sold out on the blitz to try to make some big plays for the defense, and every once in a while it would work, but it definitely left them vulnerable for some bigger plays. They're not doing that as much as they're. They're getting after the quarterback a decent amount, but they're not sending more than, you know, 5 or 6 with any regularity. So a little bit of a change up from Point's, you know, MO of the last few years, but something that lacrosse is going to have to deal with. And I think what the bigger kind of overhaul thing for Stevens Point right now is they're not the most talented team, and when you have all the injuries that they've had, it just kind of depletes that too, but they're playing themselves into games a lot because of this defense and the way that they're just kind of holding teams. You'll hear it all the time is that just limit big plays and just kind of grind it out and hope the offense makes a mistake. And Stevens Point's going to be kind of trying to do the same thing against UWL. Not that UWL has had a ton of turnovers offensively, but they have been prone the last few weeks to 3 and outs and giving the ball right back to the opposing team. So that's something UWL is definitely going to have to figure out and make sure that they're on the field for a while offensively each drive. The way I see it in this game, night game is going to be a cool atmosphere. Lacrosse is one of the coolest places you watch a Division III football game. But to me, this is a pull-it-together type of game for UWL. I don't think that they've played a great 4 quarters yet this season. Even the Luther game or the huge blowout. A lot of backups, I'm aware, on defense in the fourth quarter, but still let up some huge plays. Things that just weren't how they were going in the first half. So I don't think that lacrosse has played its best 4 quarters in a row yet. And they're more talented than Stevens Point right now. So this is a game that you've got to be able to win, and I, in my estimation, win handily. I'm the media, so I get to look ahead, and you always hear football players and coaches talk about never looking ahead. But next week you're playing Oshkosh on the road at Oshkosh. Like, that's an incredibly hard game, and UWL isn't going to win a game like that, especially on the road, playing this kind of up-and-down, disjointed type of football they've been playing. This Saturday, they've got to kind of pull those things together, get more consistency, especially on offense. And to me, I just think it comes down to, even if they don't score every drive, because that's kind of an unrealistic, you know, expectation, but just limit these 3 and outs, give your defense a chance to rest, and kind of get some things going on offense. Even if you don't score, kind of get out of this mode where they've been, you know, one big play, maybe a long touchdown, whatever it ends up being, but then, you know, 2 3-and-outs right after it. So I think this is a week that lacrosse really has to pull it together, kind of get a rhythm going, because we've talked about it many times. This is the playoffs now, essentially, for UWL. To have a chance to get into the actual playoffs, they've got to win out, and you've got to get some momentum here against Point to then hopefully roll it into 2 back-to-back really tough games against Oshkosh and Platteville in a couple of weeks. But that is going to do it for this part. Remember, all of our coverage is on lacrossetribune.com. All of our stories, got a story going up today about the assistant coaches you're just about to hear from and kind of their journey into coaching and all those type of things. But everything's on lacrossetribune.com. I will be at the game Saturday. You can follow along on Twitter for updates at CBartDizzle. And we will be back Sunday with a recap after that game. But let's kick it over to Eric Graff, Brandon McCandies, and Ryan Weber. All right, we are here in the UWL football coaches' offices, and we are with the three youngest, probably youngest guys on the staff, Brandon McCandies, D-line coach, Eric Graff, D-line coach, and Ryan Weber, safeties coach. Guys, just we'll kind of start, Weber, with you. You guys, anyone that follows this program knows about you guys from last season, a couple seasons ago, obviously, the talent you guys had on defense last season. But someone you guys staying around coaching this team, was just kind of, what was it about this program or kind of the opportunity here that you wanted to stick around and coach?
Yeah, it was a pretty special year, and it was we're pretty proud of it, us three in here in this room and everyone else on that team last year. And I guess you can ask these two other guys, but the main reason I stuck around was Coach Schmidt and what he's kind of brought to the program. And it was such a drastic change, and he really impacted all of our lives those last 2 years that he was there, and has such a profound positive impact on my life that you know, I sat in this office and chatted with him probably 3 or 4 times, hour-long talks about what my future is going to hold, whether I'm going to go get a job in my field of marketing and sales, or if I'm going to, you know, stick with my passion and what he thought I was going to be good at. And you know, there was a lot of heart-to-hearts there, and he's really the ultimate person that helped me decide, and he's the reason why I'm still here.
For sure. And Eric, and if anybody hasn't seen Eric since last football season, were you down like 70 pounds?
About 65.
Yeah, I mean, just he's shredded right now, but just kind of, what was kind of the guiding thing for you to stick around and continue coaching here?
Probably the biggest thing was I just didn't want to leave the program. It was this program, I could see how where it was going and where we left it, and it was something where I didn't want to leave it yet. I felt like there was something that I can still bring to this program. Again, Coach Schmidt, I wanted to learn everything I could from him. I wanted to learn everything I could to coach from Coach Janis about being a football coach. And that's going into my possibly future career of being a high school football coach and everything like that I plan on. And I thought the more I can learn right now, the better coach I can be in the future.
Absolutely. And Brandon, a great season for you last year, all-conference guy. Finishing up school, just what was it that kind of made you want to continue coaching here and stick with this program right now?
Yeah, kind of echoing what these two said. After the first 2 years of Coach Schmidt being here, you kind of felt that there was something there. We were going in a different direction. It was something that I had never had in college previously, and I really wanted to be a part of it. Sat down with Coach Schmidt, and we talked about our season and how great we all thought it was. And then he asked me, so are you going to be around this next year? And I said, yeah. And he said, you want to coach? And I didn't even think twice about it. It's getting to coach under a guy like that and just learn from him every day, be around him and Coach Janis, I truly think it's a blessing. And I didn't look back. As soon as he asked me if I wanted to, I said, absolutely. And I haven't regretted it since.
Absolutely, man. Great week for you guys' D-line last week, 7 sacks, really getting after the quarterback. Brandon, what's it been like kind of coaching guys that, you know, 6, 8 months ago you were teammates with? Obviously, you're still good friends with the guys on the line right now. Just what's it been like kind of coaching the guys that you spent 3 or 4 years being teammates with?
Yeah, it's awesome. Getting to watch these guys grow. Normally when you're a senior and you leave the program, you kind of, you're away from it, and you kind of like see, okay, I mean, they're starting to do better, but having your hand in there and impact every day of things that I wish people would have told me earlier in my career and things that it took me a while to figure out, just helping those guys become the athletes and become the players that I know they can is just, I think it's the best part about it for me.
Sure. And Eric, your brother still being on the team too, a connection there, but kind of the same thing. You got these guys that you were teammates and friends with. Just how's that like? Now being kind of an authority figure, somebody they got to listen to in meetings and stuff like that.
Well, it started off kind of hard to, you know, get into the feeling of now I'm in charge of these guys and everything.
Right.
And you don't want to be, you know, you're thinking you don't want to be too mean to them, but sometimes you got to point out what they're doing wrong and how they can get better and all that. And you're pretty much, you tell them like, no, I'm not trying to be, you know, mean to you guys. I'm trying to get you guys to be the best players you possibly can be. And sometimes, you know, especially with my brother being on the line, I want him to be really good too. And I'm maybe a little bit harder on him sometimes because I know him so well. I'm able to push him pretty well. And he sometimes gets pretty frustrated with me.
Sure.
I'll say something to him and he doesn't want to talk to me for the next, like, couple of minutes and all that stuff because I know what he can do, and it's really, it's really fun, but it was a hard transition to get into that at first.
Sure. And Webbs, I know you're kind of that guy being a captain last year and the injuries that you had to fight through last season. You're kind of in that coach player role for your senior year already, but kind of how's that been with, especially the safety group, who was a lot of experienced guys like Villarreal, Peter now. Just what was that experience like for you coaching guys that you've grown so close with over the years?
Yeah, like you touched on, I kind of felt like I had coached half the year last year anyways. Barely ever practiced, so I was kind of already in that role. And When I finally decided to make that decision, it was, I thought it was pretty seamless. And I was actually just talking with AJ yesterday at practice, and he was mentioning stuff you were asking him, and AJ just basically said he had already kind of seen me in that role, and
right.
You know, it, as a captain, and then kind of as a coach as it transitioned, and you know, it's been pretty cool, and it's pretty humbling to have, you know, those guys that are my friends that I played football with for 3, 4 years, 2 years, whatever it may be. I hang out with them, hung out with them, everything like that, and we had that friendship that now that they have the respect from me that or for me that they can, I can coach them, I can coach them hard, but they also know that I'm still, you know, their friend that less than a year ago was right. on the field with them, and it's pretty cool, and it's strengthened our relationships, and it's been a pretty cool ordeal.
Sure. And Eric, I'll start with you on this one. Just obviously the school and work balance of doing all this stuff, I'm sure it's tough, but what's kind of the tough parts of the coaching world that you guys are getting into now? What have you found some of the more challenging things?
See, the probably the most frustrating thing that I've found and challenging thing that I've come across was just like you have an idea of what you need to do to make a play, in if it's in some kind of formation or some kind of front, and you can see yourself doing it, but trying to communicate it to someone who may not know what you're trying to get across, you'll get me all tongue-tied. I'll try to like think of how to say it, but man, I see it in my head a lot of times, but I just don't know how to explain it in the easiest and straightforward manner without going on a massive ramble and all this stuff. That's probably the most challenging thing for me.
Sure. And Brandon, it's kind of the same thing for you. With you've got a lot of guys that were similar to your playing style where you don't have the biggest line here, but it's all quick guys, the kind of game that you played. Do you find that too, or it's hard to kind of communicate exactly what you're trying to push and teach them?
Partially, yes, because as a player, I wasn't really a vocal guy. I was kind of just, I'm going to go out, I'm going to do it, I'm going to make plays for my team, and hopefully people feed off that. So it is, but I think working with Coach Janice and Coach Schmidt, just getting the same verbiage down and the same thing so that we're on the same page. So when I say one thing, I don't have to, like Eric said, I don't have to use 20 words to say one thing. I use one term, and we both know what that means. So I think that has helped, but also, I mean, still, like, as a senior, I was still trying to help these guys last year, trying to tell them little things that I learned, so it's not the first time I've been talking to a lot of these guys about these things, and like Webb said, the respect that I have for them and they have for me, they realize that I've gone through it and I understand what they're going through, but I also am trying to push them to the next level.
For sure, and we're kind of the same thing where I know you mentioned kind of in that role last season as well, but have you found it hard where you have to communicate things that you're seeing? Because I've talked to Coach Schmidt about it multiple times, that you saw the field very similar to how he does, and that's a higher level than a lot of the guys that are playing on this team right now. Is it tough sometimes to kind of communicate those things?
Yeah, certainly, and me and Coach Schmidt, that's what made it a pretty special bond when I was playing, is I could, he knew when I knew that I screwed up, and I knew when he, you know, when he was gonna get on me about something, and because we kind of were seeing the field in the same vision, and yeah, it's certainly it's difficult at times to try to explain what I'm seeing because some people might not see it that way. So I have to try to, you know, put myself in their shoes, and you know, we got a couple experienced safeties, but we also are working in some freshman safeties and Eli Alt, and I've been really trying to work with Eli Alt and try to put myself in his shoes, and he stands next to me during Skelly and team, and I'm trying to explain to him and talk with him what I'm seeing, so hopefully he can, you know, we can bounce each other's words off each other, and he can kind of, you know, realize what I'm seeing, and I can realize what he's seeing, and we can kind of bring those two visions together to, you know, hopefully that I can have a greater understanding of what he's doing and what he's seeing.
For sure. And Brandon, we'll start with you on the last one here. I know you guys got to get back to your other stuff, but school's finishing up for you soon. Do you think with the good start you're having here, coaching's going to be in your future long term?
We'll see. I enjoy it a lot. I wasn't quite sure at the beginning. I knew I was going to like it because I love the game of football, but I'm enjoying all aspects of it. The plan right now is still to go to PT school, so that's the number one goal, but I mean, if I ever got the opportunity to coach and the circumstances are right, I'd for sure do it.
Yeah, and Eric, we were talking before we started recording. You come from a family of coaches. Yep. This program's been in your family for a long time. Coaching's probably going to be your path, right? Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I have thought about, you know, do I want to go into college coaching, or do I want to just go into teaching and then be a high school coach and all that? And I'm still keeping all my options open and all that stuff, because it's a tough decision. This is,
sure.
It's a, you know, you got to decide, because it's long hours either way and all that stuff. And I love it more than anything, but I just got to figure out what I want to do.
Sure. And Webb's a little different situation where you're finished with school already, but you're here full-time coaching everything. Do you think this is going to be a long-term thing, or are you just a little kind of up in the air?
Yeah, absolutely. I went into the year, and when I made my decision, I talked with Coach Schmidt, and he said, you know, if you're going to do this, you got to go all in, and I did. And my stipulations with myself was I'm going to go through the season, and if I really enjoy it, that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to stick with my passion. And if I didn't, then, you know, you can get a sales job, not any time, but you can only do you can only do football once, and you know, so far I've had such a tremendous experience, and I've really, really enjoyed it. So I this is what I'm gonna do, you know, and we'll see where it goes.
Absolutely. All right, well, come watch these guys coach 6 o'clock on Saturday night. They're playing Stevens Point. All defensive guys here, so watch these guys. Hopefully have another good defensive performance this week against the Pointers. But thanks a lot for doing the podcast, guys.
Thanks, Cole. Yeah, thank you
very much, Cole.